Hello, everyone. This is Bill Knauer, and you're listening to Author to Author, where we talk about writing and life, because what it takes to write the book you most want to write is also what it takes to lead the life you most want to lead. Author to Author is brought to you by Author Magazine, the premier free writing magazine on the internet, featuring articles on writing and the writing life, as well as video and audio interviews with best-selling and award-winning authors across the genres. You can find Author Magazine at authormagazine.org. And we are funded by the Pacific Northwest Writers Association, supporting writers from pen to publication since 1955. To learn more about the PNWA and their very fast approaching Writers Conference, July 25th here in Seattle, you can go to pnwa.org. Well, as you know, Author Magazine and Author to Author, and certainly my work in and around it, is all about the intersection, whenever possible, of creativity and writing and spirituality. I consider this the most natural intersection there can be. In my experience, the pursuit, any creative pursuit, particularly writing, leads inevitably to some kind of a spiritual relationship with life, which is why I am so pleased to have my guests on today, Donna Bearstein and Melissa Studdard. Donna is the founder and publisher of Tiferet Journal, which is a publication devoted to this very thing, spirituality and writing. And Melissa is, well, she's many things. She's a novelist, she's a poet, she's a teacher. She's also an editor at Tiferet Journal and the host of Tiferet Talks, a fantastic blog talk radio interview show. If you like this show at all, and you have not checked out Tiferet Talks, I encourage you to do so immediately. It is just fabulous. And she is also the publisher of the Tiferet Talk Interviews, a collection of some of her best interviews on that show. And it's just great. I have a copy, and I've been reading it, and I got to say, I am mightily impressed, not just with the fabulous authors and teachers she has interviewed, but, well, just the great questions and answers she got out of them. And so, well, this has been a long intro, and just doing the intro makes me want to talk to these people, so I'm itching to do it. Let's go ahead and do it, and let's have ourselves a little conversation. Donna, Melissa, welcome to the show.
Thanks, Bill.
Hi, Bill.
Thank you.
What a wonderful introduction. Thank you.
Well, it is my pleasure. I'm so glad to have you guys on here. I'd love to start, Donna, with you, and I'd like to start, if I could, with just the word Tiferet. What an unusual word. How did you come across it, and how did that lead you to your fabulous publication?
Well, learning about that word is certainly what led to the founding of the magazine. I was involved in a course studying something called integrated Kabbalistic healing, and these healings are based on Sfirot on the Tree of Life. Sfirot on the in Jewish mysticism, the Tree of Life holds 10 Sfirot, which are, they can be looked at either as characteristics of God or portals to God. And Tiferet is a Sfirot on the Tree of Life that corresponds to the heart, compassion, and reconciliation of opposites. And I grew up in a mixed religious household with a Jewish dad and a Christian mom, and so reconciliation of opposites has always been important to me. And actually, just this afternoon, I was listening on the NPR to an interview with someone who's written something recently for Slate on ambivalence. So I think that, you know, on the one hand, there's this, and on the other hand, there's this. And he was talking about the importance of that. I think Tiferet is a concept that encourages us to look at different ends of the spectrum, whether it's different religious faiths or anything that has black and white qualities. Tiferet is something that helps to reconcile things that seemingly are opposite.
Right.
So when I learned that word, I fell in love with it and started a publishing company. So, and like you mentioned in your introduction, writing and spirituality are my two key interests in life, and I think they're inextricably intertwined. And yeah. I've always been fascinated to read how writers talk about their relationship with spirituality, where their creativity comes from. And yeah. so that led to the founding of this journal.
Yeah, you know, I have found for myself that as I've been writing about creativity and writing process over the last 4 or 5 years, my language has more and more and more, just as I talk about the creative process, overlapped with spiritual language and even biblical language. And it was not intentional, it just was inevitable in a way. And Melissa,
yeah.
I'm wondering, Donna was talking about how the word Tiferet refers to seeing things in many forms and from many sides. And it seems to me, as a writer and certainly as a novelist yourself, that's one of our jobs, is to look at life again and again from so many different perspectives.
Yes, yes, absolutely. You know, it's funny, I was just flipping through the Tiferet talk book earlier today, and I found a quote from Jeffrey Davis, and he said, "If you were to think of yourself as a pantheon, then you'd understand how to apply yourself instead of pretending you were just one thing."
Right.
And
that's great.
I think that is, it is. It's so perfect for what we're talking about right now. And I agree, you know, as a writer, you're coming from so many different perspectives, and particularly if you're writing fiction, you're creating characters and looking at life from all these different viewpoints. So, yes,
yeah.
I agree.
Now, Melissa, how did you come to be involved with Tiferet Journal?
You know, it's interesting. I was on vacation in Colorado, and they have newsstands. They are magazine stands that just sell newspapers and magazines and some paperback books. And I stopped in there to pick up something to read at the hotel, and I came across a copy of Tiferet Journal. And I just immediately fell in love with it. I had planned to be out for the day and read it that evening, and I ended up going and sitting down at a coffee shop and just really getting involved in it right that moment because I couldn't
That's
put it
great.
Down. And, I just love it. And so from that point, I decided to submit some of my own writing. So I submitted a couple of poems, and this is exactly the kind of work I had already been doing, but I didn't
yeah.
really realize there was a place for it yet.
Yeah.
So I said, oh, my gosh, here's a place for me. And so I sent the poems in, and they were accepted. And then from that point, I Donna and Adele, the poetry editor, and the editors, they were so warm and friendly. I began to kind of form a relationship with them through email and on Facebook. And Tiferet has a place on their website where you can donate. So I started making little donations for holidays and that kind of thing. And then eventually Donna just asked me if I wanted to work for Tiferet, and I just said a huge yes.
Wow, that's just great. Donna, it's got to be satisfying to you as the creator of the, because I know what it is. I made Author Magazine and made it, and I said I had no idea if anybody else would like it, but it's the kind of magazine I would want to visit. And it's got to be gratifying to you still, I can imagine, to hear the story of someone like Melissa finding it sort of out of the blue and realizing it was another home for her.
Yes, I mean, it's terrific. And actually just listening to Melissa tell that particular story again is, I have no idea how the magazine ended up in Colorado there, but I'm so thankful that it did, you know, synchronicity there. And I'm so thankful that it led to the relationship that we have. And when I first started speaking to Melissa, I was at the time discovering something called Blog Talk Radio and wanting to pursue that, and realized how excellent Melissa would be as the interviewer. So she has done a beautiful job with it. And again, so we then ended up expanding beyond the magazine to publish our first book with last year's interviews collected. And just going back 1 minute to your earlier question about writing and spirituality, I started publishing Tiferet in 2003. And in the first issue, I wrote an essay talking about how in many religions, the word is
yeah.
primal. It's so
yeah.
important. Certainly in the Bible, in the beginning was the word. also in the Quran, very early on in the Quran, it says recite. And in Hebrew and Sanskrit and in other languages, the letters themselves are seen as vehicles for the divine, for the sacred. And when I was studying this integrated Kabbalistic healing, my teacher at the time made the comment, language is the first particularization of nothingness. And I fell in love with that sentence. As a writer myself, that just resonated deeply with me.
Yeah, it's so true, because I think once you start getting deeply into the experience of writing, you're always beginning with the formless, because everything that comes to you comes formless, and then you give it form, right?
Yes, Mark Strand said, all writing is writing against the void.
That's
what we're doing. That's a scary thing, but creativity, that's where creation comes from, is from the void.
That's right. Mm-hmm. That's right. And so, Melissa, had you ever done any kind of interviews before you started doing the Tiferet Talks?
No, not at all.
Oh, wow, I am impressed. No, I really am.
You,
Me too.
I really appreciate that.
Well, I got to say, because I've heard your interviews, and of course I've been interviewed by you, and it was a great experience. But in reading them, and again, I want to recommend this book, The Tiferet Talk Interviews, for anyone listening here. It's just great, and if you enjoy these kinds of conversations, it's such a pleasure to sit down with this book. And I was just, I loved the way you guided the conversations, Melissa, and your familiarity with the guests. It was a pleasure.
Oh, thank you. I really appreciate that. You know, it was a little scary when Donna first asked me to do it, because I had done nothing like that before ever. And my first thought when she asked me was just to run screaming away and hide under my bed. And then I said, no, I'd love to do it. I'd love to do it. And so I did. And my first interview was with Julia Cameron, who, as we know, is a pretty big name. So that was, I think I pulled an all-nighter. I didn't sleep for about 24 hours in nervousness over that one. And then after that, it's just gotten, it feels natural now. It feels very natural.
Yeah.
And I love it so much. You probably know, Bill, once you start doing this, these interviews, it becomes such an important part of your life, because you get used to being able to talk to people at this really, really deep level about the things that matter to you so much. And I just, at this point, I can't imagine my life without it. And it's wonderful, too, because when I read a book and I love it, I can tell Donna, oh, I would really love to interview this person. And then, you know, I get to talk to them about it, which is amazing.
Yeah. Yeah, that, you know, it's great. Life, to me, writing, I don't know if either of you feel like this, but to me, it feels like the deepest conversation I can have. And so to then be able to have actual conversations with other writers and teachers, it just feels like a kind of extension of that process I already began, what you could say, in private with my writing. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Oh, I think that's absolutely right. And in the writing feeds the interviews, and the interviews feed the writing. It really goes both ways. I feel like my own writing has grown so much as a result of being able to do these. And as well, the things that I learn in my own writing help me to form the questions and the things that I'd like to talk about.
Hey, Donna, since you started publishing Tiferet Journal 10 years ago now, and obviously this is a hard thing to quantify, but it's a creative endeavor. How has your life changed as a result of your experience with the journal, do you think?
Oh, that's a good question. Well, I think I went into it, and possibly this is your experience with author to author as well. I think I went into it rather naively, and I had been a founding editor on Bellevue Literary Review. We had started that magazine the very end of 1999, and the first issue came out right after September 11th. And I was involved with the founding of Bellevue Literary Review and stayed with them for about 4 years, and 4 or 5 years. And then I started thinking, so some of our editors were writers and some were doctor writers. And I started thinking, well, you know, I'm not a doctor. I'm never going to be a doctor. And this is based on the body. I mean, I love Bellevue Literary Review. It's a terrific magazine. But the theme of it is body, well, certainly body, mind, because it also covers mental illness.
Right.
I started thinking it would be nice to have something that focuses on the nexus between literature and spirituality rather than literature and the body.
Amen.
And so, right? So naively, I go off thinking, okay, I'm going to form this magazine. And forgetting that with my experience at Bellevue Literary Review, we had NYU's budget, NYU's staff, a lot of those things that helped run the magazine. So,
wow.
It's been a terrific, but the more I looked into publishing and how you do this, the more interested I got. And, you know, it just ended up happening.
Isn't it like a book itself? Donna, this is why I love talking to people. Any creative person doing anything, I don't care if it's an entrepreneur, a publisher, a writer, a painter, this is how all creativity happens. You begin with it's a seed, and then what can you do but follow it? I created my own theater show back in the 1980s, and I remember thinking at one point, because I was a very young man when I did it, and I thought a couple of years down the road, I thought if I had known all that I didn't know when I started it, I wouldn't have done it. If someone could have told me you need to learn all this before you'll really figure out how to do it, I would have just stopped. But I did like you did. I just said, well, let's find out. Isn't that how you write a book, too, Melissa? You don't know.
Right, E.L. Doctorow has the quote, where he says writing a novel is like driving a car at night and you can only see as far as the headlights go. And you kind of keep trusting that the headlights will keep shining forward.
Exactly.
That's wonderful. And you know what, Donna? It is so much about trust, isn't it, with writing or any project? You just have to trust the next thing will come. I think Hemingway who said that he stopped writing when he knew what was going to happen next?
Yes. He had a sentence. He would stop within one sentence that he could start with. Yeah. You know, I will tell you, I'm just editing now an interview with one of my favorite people. I get to interview a woman named Deb Colletti, who writes YA and has just published her first adult novel. And so she's on book number 11 published, and she's got five that she wrote before that. And she said, you know, I still experience terror before I write sometimes, wondering if this will be the time I go there and the well is dry. It hasn't been yet. Yeah. It probably never will be, but it stays with you.
That's one of the big themes that comforted me in the Tiferet Talk interviews. A lot of these writers who I admire so much talked about that fear before sitting down to write. And even midway through a project, you experience that fear, not just because you don't know what will happen next, but also because you're going into a really different kind of mind, that mind that you have to be in to create. And sometimes it's a little bit of a scary place. It's an unknown every time you enter, even though you've been there before. Do you know what I mean?
Oh, I know exactly what you mean. And I'd like you both maybe to answer this in your own way. And I'll start with you, Donna, but I want to talk about that trust issue, because when I coach people and when I talk about writing, one of the things I stress is you feel the value of what you have to create within you, but it's within you and you haven't seen it. And so you have to trust, and you had to do this with the journal, that you sense the value of the connection between writing and spirituality. And you had to trust that there was another person on the planet who would feel the same way, because you don't know until you make the thing. Is that right?
Yes. Yes, that's right.
And so you had to learn to trust as you were creating it that this thing that you sensed the importance for had a place in the world, because you didn't know until you make it. How do you know?
Right. And I also I kind of wear three hats in careers with writing and publishing. And for many years I was a copywriter. And one of the things I learned as a copywriter, direct response copywriter, was that potential subscribers or customers or prospects are always asking what's in it for me. And I really came to defer it not thinking about it from a marketing perspective at all.
Right.
So, and I don't know if that's the way you approached author to author as well, but it was something that was a deep interest of my own, and I didn't really think as much about, although I've been really, really, you know, beautifully surprised learning that this is a topic that interests other people. And certainly as the magazine and with the interviews, as we've grown, we talk more and more about topics that are of help to writers at any stage of their career, whether they're beginning writers or experienced writers. We're offering something to them, inspiration, encouragement, et cetera. And just like Melissa just pointed out with the interviews with very well-known, very successful authors, learning about their inner experiences in their processes of writing. So that's helpful.
Yes, it is always helpful. This is one of the reasons I did for Author Magazine, I did video interviews, is I wanted people to see the authors, see their physical selves, they're real people, and let them talk. And they are always willing to talk, almost always willing to talk about the uncertainty and the anxiety and what they go through to create, which you've gone through, Melissa, because you're an artist, and so you've had to do that with every poem. Every poem you have to face that, right? And certainly the novel, but just sitting down to write a poem, you have to face it again and again and again. How do you do it?
thank you for bringing that up, because I've thought a lot about the difference between writing a poem and writing a novel, and each is difficult in its own way. And yes, one of the things, and Bill, you know this because you write a blog post every day, which amazes me, but
yes, I do.
You sit down to write a poem or a blog post or something like that, and in some ways it's harder because you're constantly starting over. And it's a huge challenge, but you know what? It's also confidence building as you start to get some poems and blog posts and novels and things behind you. You start with, as you said, a seed, a small idea, and then it grows a little bit, and you have a little poem or a blog, or it grows and you have a chapter, and then you have another chapter, and then you have a book. And in this way, you can look at the highway behind you and see the things you've created and say, wow, I can do that. It never gets easy every single time. Every new time, it's difficult all over again. But there is, being able to stand in your garden of where the seeds have flowered and look at what you have created does, I think, build a sort of confidence that helps the next time around. Do you find that too?
Yes. And what I've found, the deepest confidence comes for me from learning to trust. When I've learned to the deepest trust with that voice that says, this is what you find worth sharing, that the more I trust it, the more I trust it, the deeper into I go, and the better stuff it shows me. And you know what I found to be the case, and I'd be curious to see if you feel the same way. So I've written lots of book-length stuff and all these blog posts, which are like poems in that way. And and even though with the book you can – it's got the story, so every time you're entering that same sort of flow of an idea that you're trying to see through on a larger scale, when I'm writing my blogs, I feel that in a way they're not dissimilar in that they are all a part of one sort of evolving stream of thought. And that certainly was the case when I was writing poetry years ago. Do you find that, Melissa, that there is a kind of connection in terms of the evolution of you as a thinker, human being, soul that you sense within the evolving work?
Oh, absolutely. And as a matter of fact, I was just noticing that about 2 days ago. I was sitting down because someone, Ron Starbuck at St. Julian Press, has asked me for a collection of poetry. And I've just been writing poems as, well, thank you. And I've been writing them as individual pieces. And now I'm starting to look and say, how do these fit together as a whole? And I'm seeing not only that there are certain themes emerging, but that the themes, it's almost like a helix, the way they're intertwining.
Yeah.
It's really, really interesting to me. But I did want to say that, to me, one of the differences between a big project and a smaller project is that I don't know if you've felt this way, and Donna, I know you've written a novel too, but when you're involved in a long work like a novel, you feel like you are constantly living in two worlds. For me,
yes.
I'm living in the physical world, but I'm also
yep.
in that other world. And I think now that I'm putting the poems together and starting to look at them as a book instead of individual poems, I'm living in that world. My
yeah.
my head
yes.
is a little poetry machine right now. I mean, I look
it's
at a leaf
that,
and I don't
this,
say,
this,
oh, that's a green leaf. I say, oh, a poem about a leaf. Right?
Have you gone through that, Donna?
Yes, definitely. I have my first story collection coming out later this year, and these are stories that have been published in literary magazines. And but I putting them together as a whole, it's an experience like Melissa just described, that there's a unity to them, and seeing the theme and seeing actually the first story that's in the collection was the first story I ever published in a literary magazine, and the last one is a new one that's coming out soon in New Ohio Review, and they're mirror images of each other.
Yeah.
And just I would not have seen that without the exercise of putting this collection together and refining it. So
I love it.
And I
love it. And you know why? Very quickly, this is one of the best invariably when I interview novelists, they will tell the story of, I threw this detail in the first chapter, I don't know why, but there it was, and then I'm running along and I come to chapter 20, and all of a sudden that detail is just what I need to wrap the story up,
yes.
and I didn't know why it was there,
yes.
and isn't that just like what you were talking about? Your imagination
yes, exactly.
and creativity has a coherence that you can't fathom in your little mind.
Yes.
You know?
And to me, that's the magic of it. The magic, or quote unquote, the spirituality of it.
Yes.
That it's a part of a bigger thing.
And you have to trust that it's there, don't you, Melissa? You
yes.
have if you that that's part of your maturation as an artist is to trust that it will be there to serve you if you treat it correctly. If you
yep.
treat
oh,
it
absolutely.
Trustingly.
And it's very, very spiritual, and it's just like the kind of synchronicity that happens between people. Like Donna was talking about me being in Colorado, Fort Collins, Colorado, and there just happening to be a copy of Tiferet, and the same kinds of things, you know, talking about the intersection between life and writing, these things that happen in life happen in the writing, too. The detail that pops up later and is exactly the thing that we needed. It's
That's
amazing,
right.
really.
It's just awesome. I know we're going to be cut off here soon. Our time is almost up. I want to make sure people can find you guys. What is the URL for the Tiferet Journal? Donna.
It's tiferetjournal.com. It's T-I-F-E-R-E-T Journal.
.com. Okay. And Melissa, where can they find you in addition to the Tiferet Journal?
Oh, thank you. It's just www.melissastuddard.com, and that's S-T-U-D-D-A-R-D. And they can find the Tiferet Talk show at the Tiferet website as well. There's a link there, a big microphone they can click on
sure.
if they want to go. So.
Wow, man, that was the quickest 30 minutes I think I've ever had an interview. Thank you both so much. This has been a delight.
Thank you,
Bill. Thank you so much.
Wonderful.
It was lovely.
Oh, you're both welcome. That's it, folks. You know, it is an intersection of creativity and spirituality. I don't care what your beliefs are, but you are going into the unknown. You are trusting what you cannot see, what you cannot taste, what you cannot see with your eyes. That's what the creative process is. You learn to trust it, and it will provide for you in most magical ways. I just love it. The deeper into it I go, the better. The Tiferet Talks interviews, fabulous. Look it up, Tiferet Journal. Tiferet Journal. Another fabulous. Get there. Check it out if you haven't already. Until next week, Donica Dinsmore will be with me next Tuesday. Until then, do what you love, write what you love, and everything.